Exotica, the nation's largest adult event, returns to the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Exotica, presented by MyFreeCamps.com. Meet over 200 of the world's top adult stars. Check out the Mile to the Wild at over 150 vendors. Attend hours of super sexy educational seminars sponsored by Pleasure Chest and Hot Entertainment on the Chatterbait Entertainment stage. All ladies get free admission on Friday. That's right, ladies are free on Friday. For more info and tickets, go to ExoticaExpo.com. That's ExoticaExpo.com. To get the full Exotica experience, go VIP and get lots of free stuff and access to the legendary Exotica after parties. See what sexy is all about at Exotica this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. ExoticaExpo.com.
Illinois CyberKnife deploys revolutionary technology in the fight against prostate cancer in just 5 outpatient treatments. With CyberKnife treatment for prostate cancer, there's no pain, no surgery, and you can go back to your normal activities right after treatment. Prostate cancer doesn't fight fair. Neither should you. For more information, contact Illinois CyberKnife at 847-723-0100 or visit IllinoisCK.com, a service of Advocate Lutheran General Hospital. No case is typical. Results will vary by patient, and there's no guarantee you'll experience these results.
LifeLock.com, promo code GAME.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score! Scoreboard update.
For the CDW Update Studio, I'm Joe Ostrowski. Making IT solutions work for you, it's IT orchestration by CDW. CDW, people who get it. Cubs pitching coach Jim Hickey chimed in on Jake Arrieta week.
Whether it was you, Darvish, or somebody else, you're going to compare him to the guy that left and the guy that was extremely popular and extremely productive and, you know, won a world championship. So it's absolutely natural. I don't think that it's quite fair. It's two, you know, totally different people under totally different circumstances. So I hope we're having this conversation 6 or 7 years from now, too, with the guy that ended up replacing you, Darvish. Was it fair?
Hickey with Mullie and Hanley. Download the interview on 670thescore.com. Darvish played catch yesterday, but is not ready to go on a mound as of yet. Jose Quintana against the Phillies' Aaron Nola tonight. Zach Zaidman with your 6:30 pregame on The Score. Joe Manna with Burstein and McKnight at noon. Jake Arrieta with McNeil and Parkins today at 3. It's the Sox and Twins once again following yesterday's doubleheader, a Hector Santiago-Jake Odorizzi pitching matchup. Basketball, Golden State going for a 3-0 series lead and their third title in 4 years. Warriors at the Cavs tonight. And Matt Nagy will speak to the media after Bears practice. This update is brought to you by Webb Chevy. Searching for a great deal on Chevys in Chicago? Visit Webb Chevy in Plainfield or Oak Lawn. And join the Bernstein and McKnight Show at Wrigley on Friday from 9 a.m. to 1. The guys will be live from Gallagher Way talking all things Chicago sports, along with previewing Cubs Pirates that afternoon. Stop by to see the broadcast and pick up Cubs radio prizes. I'm Joe Ostrowski, and you're listening to the radio home for Cubs baseball, 670 The Score. The next game on The Score tonight at 6:30 when the Cubs take on the Phillies. This is 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Say my name.
Mike Florio.
Get the name right. That's all that matters. Spell my name right or say my name properly.
Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports.
Hearing Florio writing articles about it.
NFL Insider.
Take a spin around the league. We bring in Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio.
Mike Florio.
My name is my name.
With Bernstein and McKnight on 670 The Score.
Mike Florio is on Twitter at Pro Football Talk, and he joins us weekly on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. It has been a whirlwind 36 or so hours, maybe 48, in the world of the NFL, culminating in as absurd a spectacle as we can remember yesterday afternoon. What is the meaning to be taken away from this latest chapter in the anthem story, Mike? Is there any meaning here? Are we any closer to some sort of reasonable grown-up resolution?
Oh, hell no. No. If anything, we're farther away from a resolution. Here's what's amazing. It's only been 2 weeks since the NFL unilaterally changed its anthem policy, with some reporters calling it a compromise. It wasn't a compromise because the players weren't involved. 14 days later, we're in the aftermath of the cancellation of the Eagles' trip to the White House because the concerns that some Eagles players had about visiting with the president, similar concerns to what the Golden State Warriors had last year, and it wasn't an anthem issue for NBA teams because the players must stand. That popped up now, but it's been hijacked into a continuation of this anthem debate because the president has found something that works. Like so many other politicians before him, if you find something that works, if you find something that can get your base fired up, especially in an election year with the midterms coming up, and it gets people motivated to go out and support candidates and vote for candidates, then it's a winner. And that's the one thing that Donald Trump said to Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys. Jones admitted to that under oath in his Colin Kaepernick collusion grievance deposition, that the president said, this is a winning issue for me. And I don't see him stopping, especially with those November elections on the horizon.
So what would a real commissioner do if the NFL had one? What would be the proper response to try to restore some kind of order and maybe remove your league's business in some way from the conversation?
Well, you get a time machine and you go back to August of 2016, or ideally you go back to 2009 when they decided to make the players props in this effort to wrap the shield and the flag and bring them out of the locker room. I think they would go back to players staying in the locker room if they could right now. The problem is that would be too conspicuous and it would spark another round of attacks from the president and his base. 2016, what they should have done is sat down with the NFLPA and worked out an agreement where the players would stand. And now what do you do? Do you call the owners back together and admit that you screwed it up 2 weeks ago? I don't think that happens until we see at least one season of life with this new anthem policy. At some point, here's what they need to do. And think about what the league typically does with any of its adversaries. It fights. It fights everybody. It fights its partners. It fights anyone who would make a legal claim against it. It fights anyone and everyone. Legal, economic, PR, it goes after you. The president has the NFL run up a tree on this. At what point do they realize their strategy isn't working and maybe they should regard the president the same way they regard everybody else? If you come after us, you're our enemy and we're going to fight back.
That's my question, because up until yesterday, the president was able to, through discourse, really, through our media outlets and everyone else's, put this on the Eagles, right? He made it about them not respecting the anthem or however he needed to frame it. Torrey Smith did a great job of kind of debunking that step by step. But at some point, the NFL has to realize or needs to realize that just staying in the locker room is going to be attacked by this president. That just whatever next step
it's
they
never
make,
stop, right?
The goalposts will move. And I just don't know that that NFL owners are going to be concerted enough to sit down with each other and the players union, what with a CBA coming up as close as we are.
Here's what's amazing to me, and I'm assuming that this didn't happen. Why didn't somebody get the president on the phone before they crafted this new policy? There's enough owners that know him. Enough contributed $1 million to his inauguration committee. Robert Kraft counts him as a friend. Jerry Jones clearly had been talking to him. Did they not get him on the phone and say, okay, Mr. President, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make anyone who's out in the playing area stand for the anthem, and if you're inclined to protest, you go to the locker room. Is that okay? Does that work? Does that end this? I'm assuming that didn't happen, because if it had happened and he reneged on it, I have a feeling we'd have heard about it some way, somehow by
right
now. But why don't you? I mean, again, it's amazing to me the lack of foresight, the lack of proactivity. It's all reaction by the NFL. And you can pick 10 different spots in the life cycle of this policy where other commissioners in other sports or prior commissioners in the NFL would have handled it differently and kept this thing from becoming the problem it is. And Roger Goodell has avoided pretty much all criticism of this other than what was coming from Jerry Jones last football season, and that's all gone away now that they've cleared out some of the people in the league office that Jerry Jones wanted to get rid of.
I also come away from this seeing the words and deeds, the actions of the Eagles players themselves throughout, and even stuff that hasn't been highly publicized, what they've done on their off days. People say, well, why aren't they doing this on their own time? Well, they're doing a lot on their own time. Malcolm Jenkins, who's flying to Washington every Tuesday to talk to congresspeople and other leaders, and Chris Long giving up his weekly game checks. Haven't we taken out this trope about distraction They won the Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl. They were at with an amazing, historic performance. So how can these coaches now say, oh, it's got to be all about football, we can't have any of these distractions? Oh, yes, you can. You can be. You can have a team do well-adjusted, thoughtful grown-ups doing their job, thinking about all kinds of other things, and winning a damn championship. I don't want to hear it anymore.
Well, without the distractions, they would have won by 50.
Okay.
Now here's the thing, and I'm glad you mentioned the players, because look, the reality is this has become a political issue, and like anything political, there are people who will take reality and twist it and exaggerate it, embellish it, fabricate it if need be. This isn't unique to the current occupant of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Most successful politicians have sold enough of their soul that they will lie under a different name to advance their political agenda. And the NFL is rife with liars, people who will spin the truth into something other than it is. The only people who have been honest and genuine and authentic throughout this entire exercise are the players, because they're the only ones who are acting in a way that is against their self-interest. The NFL acts in furtherance of its agenda. The president acts in furtherance of his agenda. And the players, knowing full well the ridicule, the risk, the financial loss, and everything that goes along with it, continue. The ones who are protesting and the ones who are supporting the protesters continue to do it, even though the smart move, the predictable move, is keep your mouth shut and do your job and listen to all those people out there who say protests are bad for business. So they're the one credible source of authenticity through this entire mess, and I think we need to appreciate that more than we do.
Are you a little surprised, Mike, that the players' union has not come out with a subsequent statement about this, or about the policy in general, or the players haven't maybe pushed for that? I wonder if you're hearing that at all, or perhaps that union is like everybody else, just waiting for the goalposts to move again, whether that be from politicians or from owners.
Well, the NFLPA did react to the new policy a couple of weeks
initially,
ago.
Initially, yeah.
And the question becomes, and I've been trying to get DeMora Smith, the NFLPA executive director, on my morning show. I want to talk to him about their various options, legal, PR, et cetera, for pushing back against this unilateral change. And there could be an attack under the National Labor Relations Board, an unfair labor practice. There could be grievances filed under the collective bargaining agreement. There could be lawsuits filed. There are all sorts of different ways that this policy could be attacked. And I'm hopeful that from the perspective of the players and the players who are opposed to what's happening, that their union dues are being expended in a way that lawyers are brainstorming the various ways available to fight, and then the best way. And one of the things that gets lost, one of the fundamental principles of lawyering, it's not showing up in court and being Perry Mason. It's the planning that you do before you ever start the legal process. Which of our options do we proceed with? What court do we try to put this in? Where is our best chance to get justice, and what form will justice take? That's where lawyers really earn their money, in the planning stages, and hopefully that's what the NFLPA's lawyers are doing right now.
It's funny you put it in the lawyering context there, because it is this larger picture of, and we talked to Dave Zirin about it yesterday, this idea of the looming potential work stoppage and where this fits in the bigger picture. I read in a biography of Abraham Lincoln about his fundamental technique in arguing as a lawyer, and what he would instruct his associates is, know the one thing that is most important that we get in negotiation, and plan the things we can give in on, but never waver from what our actual goal is in this process. And I can't define what the player's big goal is. Is it a bigger chunk of revenue? Is it player safety and information about the danger of the game? Is it their personal freedom to express themselves? If you had to identify the one thing they've got to have in this looming conflict, what is it?
Well, I'd say that the one thing they want is to preserve the gains that they made the last time around, especially as it relates to health and safety and reduced practice time and playing time, and also to find a way to get more money as the NFL continues to grow and grow. Now, they have a system in place now that they were happy with as of 2011, but here's the thing. the CBA that was done before this one, 2006, it had an opt-out clause that kicked in within 2 years afterward. And from the moment, but either side could have opted out, from the moment the ink dried on the contract, we started hearing gripes from the owners about the CBA. Complaints, 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 complaints. They opted out, and they were back at the bargaining table. 7 years into this CBA, have we heard a single complaint from the owners about the deal? So,
right.
I mean, it kind of tells you they're happy with what they have. So the NFLPA should be looking for ways to try to claw back some money and level things out. The problem is when the owners are willing to take advantage of all of the tools available within the confines of a union arrangement, specifically a lockout of the workforce if need be, and the players aren't willing to either absorb the lockout or to strike because they don't want to lose out on game checks. And look, that's if that's their priority, continue to get paid week in and week out, so be it. But you do take some things off the table that could help you do a better overall deal. Until they're ready to take a strike and make it stick and shut down for a full season if need be, they're never going to get the best possible deal that they can.
Mike, a week ago, Mark Garagos, the lawyer for Colin Kaepernick in his collusion case on CNN, said he's got somebody who may drop dime on the NFL, and it kind of felt like things were impending. It was a week ago today. Kind of felt like something was coming around the corner. I just wonder if it's better for them, for that case, to wait, considering the continued conversation that the White House has been involved with the NFL in. The more ownership talks about this issue, the more ammunition they may have from depositions, the better off their case may be. Am I right on that?
Well, but if you have somebody who is ready to drop dime or dime out, I think that's what it was,
dime out
the NFL. If you have somebody who's ready to do it, you get them locked in ASAFP.
Ah.
You don't screw around. You get it preserved, right? Because if they have a change of heart, you're screwed. So I don't know what has been done to preserve whatever this person is going to say. Has it been documented? Has it been testified to in a deposition? We don't know. And I was pestering some people on the fringes of the Kaepernick camp saying, well, where's this dramatic turn? Where's this dramatic turn? And they said, wait for it. Well, the problem is it's got to come at some point because eventually it affects the credibility of Mark Garagos. And that was, you know, last week, you know, the people who hate Colin Kaepernick and who are going to shout down anything that could remotely look good for him, they say, oh, big deal. Who cares about this? Well, it is a big deal because you've got a guy who's written a check now. Mark Garagos has written a big check, and he's either going to honor it or it's going to bounce. And here we are a week later, and, you know, you could roll it up and dribble it down the court at this point if he doesn't make good on it. You can't let something like that hang out there. In a world that changes so fast, a week may as well be a month. And wherever it is, whatever it is, I don't know that he planned to put that out there. I don't know that he blurted it out in the moment. But the longer time goes without that dramatic turn, the worse it looks for him.
We see with every day that goes by another state that is coming online for legalized gambling. I believe Delaware was the latest. And I'm wondering, do we know how the injury reporting could or should or will be forced to change?
Well, forced means that there's somebody who's actually in a position to compel it. And look, I've been critical of the NFL's injury reports for years. It is just enough of an optical illusion to make you think that there isn't inside information. There is inside information to be had. And I think it's going to take a scandal. The NFL's been lucky so far that it hasn't had any type of a major gambling scandal, whether it's a Tim Donaghy, whether it's players who are getting paid to provide information, whether it's coaches providing information. They're lucky it hasn't happened. I think it's going to take something like that because we know how the NFL operates. They don't anticipate the worst case scenario before it happens. They wait for it to happen, and then they say, oh my goodness, who would have ever dreamed this would happen? We'd better do something about it. And, you know, they've been lucky. They've been lucky because I don't think they have the safeguards in place to avoid a situation where a guy with a thick gold chain and one eyebrow is going to be hanging out in the parking lot, giving out envelopes full of money to find out who's really injured and who really isn't.
Mike, always great. Thanks for the info.
All right, see you guys.
In-depth stuff from Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, brought to you by KFC. Get the new crispy Colonel sandwich from KFC. The new KFC crispy Colonel $5 fill-up with wedges, cookie, and a drink. This offer is not everywhere and not forever. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra. Yeah, I guess the Eagles coach Doug Peterson talked today, and he just sort of punted everything and said, everything you're hearing is all you're going to hear, and he was not really talking about anything.
No comment.
It was essentially no comment. It sounded like he just not interested and was happy to answer questions about his football team.
You've heard what we need to say. You've heard what the other parties need to say, and we'll move on from there. Okay, fair enough. That's all right, I guess, for a football coach to do, but I think your point about whether distraction really means anything, whether this distraction specifically really means anything, is a good one. The Eagles had plenty of them, or at least the kind of distractions that NFL fans and coaches might decry as distractions, had plenty of them this past season, and they did fine. Didn't seem to derail the Super Bowl season. You had a quarterback go down, found a backup, and some great coaching and some solid concerted efforts by everybody on that team overcame both distraction and the loss of a starting quarterback.
It's over forever.
And can't disposed have kind of the Patriots and the narrative.
Yeah, and if you actually ask the players on that team what they were doing in their spare time, on their own, on their off days, to do things that were important to them and meaningful to them, listen to their answers. Just listen. It's very simple when they can explain what they're doing, why they're doing it, what matters to them, and then they get back to work and they win the championship.
Seems to be a decent enough formula for me. I mean, that works here.
I think so.
I think it works elsewhere.
Len Casper is going to join us at 10:40. We can talk about the Cubs. That was a great point by Brian Hanley during transition. The appropriate behavior. We got into this after the Steve Bartman incident. There was also, if you remember, the Uribe catch in the World Series in Houston.
Yeah.
Remember this? When Uribe was, and there were fans holding back other fans to give him room to make the play. But there's also the humanity of, and as a fan, not wanting your player hurt.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what's the proper behavior to not interfere with him, but to also be there to help Javier Baez not fall that hard.
Yeah, because he took it.
It was bad.
I mean, he went down. See, my worry was more that that fans are helping. You know, if somebody goes down like that, it's like, don't just leave him there. Don't get him up, you know, because you're going to do more damage. You're going to do more harm than good if you're being proactive in a situation like that. I was worried as these fans were picking up Javi Baez that they were going to do more harm than good to Javi Baez as they extricated him from the first row of the seats. Like, let the trainers go over there and figure things out. That's what worried me more than anything else.
That's Connor McKnight. I'm Dan Bernstein. I always think about, like, and I think when you have those seats, you should think about what are you going to do in a given situation. You know, be in the game. Stay in the moment. You got the score.
Hey, Cub fans, this is Kyle Hendricks. Listen to every exciting Cubs game right here.
Hendricks ready for the 3-2 pitch. Swing and a miss, strike three.
Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's official radio home of the Cubs.
This is Boomer Esiason with the CBS Sports Minute. Speculation has been mounting that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick were locked into an ugly feud. Part of that tabloid-promoted hypothesis was fueled by a conspiracy theory suggesting that Brady went to owner Bob Kraft demanding that backup and heir apparent Jimmy Garoppolo be traded, and that Kraft then forced Belichick to deal Garoppolo away. New England's 40-year-old signal caller was reportedly further angered when his coach dispatched the Patriots' starting left tackle, running back, and wide receivers from last season. Brady, who is also rumored to be unhappy with his salary, skipped this year's OTAs. Somehow, the resourceful local media induced the normally noncommittal Belichick to finally open up about where things stand between him and his fellow future Hall of Famer.
I've always had a good relationship with Tom.
Wow, that was certainly an emotionally revealing and cathartic moment, wasn't it? I'm Boomer Esiason.
Ask any dentist and they will tell you most of us brush our teeth too hard, unevenly, and not nearly long enough. And that leads to serious health problems. So I decided to do something about it. I'm Simon Enova, and I invented Quip, the modern electric toothbrush to help you have fresh breath, pristine teeth, and excellent oral hygiene. As a product designer, I care about how your toothbrush looks, feels, and the quality of every bristle. Quip has a lightweight and sleek design with simple timed vibrations and guiding pulses for a perfect 2-minute clean. And unlike other high-end electric toothbrushes, Quip starts at just $25. BuzzFeed calls us the iPhone of toothbrushes, and Time magazine named us one of the best inventions of the year. Start brushing better with Quip.
Go to getquip.com/clean and get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/clean. Spelled getquip.com/clean.
I wanted to sleep in today, and I knew I couldn't really, but I couldn't get out of my Brooklinen sheets because they were just too awesome. So the alarm was set for 6 because my wife had to go to her spin class, whatever it was, and I figured I could just buy myself another half hour. And I don't know if I can get back to sleep, but the best thing I know is that Brooklinen sheets make it easier than ever because you crawl back in and it's like, oh, yeah. Okay, just steal a little bit more time. And it matters. Good sheets make a huge difference. You might not appreciate it until you try them. And that's why Brooklinen.com has made it easier than ever. You don't have to really know anything or do a bunch of homework or ask about thread count. If you go to Brooklinen.com and just start clicking around, you're going to end up with terrific sheets that optimize your sleep experience. And it's underpriced. And you get a great deal. My Brooklinen sheets are awesome. You will understand that yours will make a difference in your life when you go to Brooklinen.com and take advantage of this exclusive offer just because you're listening. You get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code Dan at Brooklinen.com. And Brooklinen's so sure you're going to love these sheets, they're offering a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is using the promo code Dan at Brooklinen.com. That's Brooklinen.com, promo code Dan. It's
Truck drivers, have you thought about team driving but don't have a partner? Schneider offers a team matching program to connect you with another driver. Together, you can achieve the highest earning potential in Schneider's fleet, up to $85,000 per year each, plus a limited time sign-on bonus up to $30,000. Teams also drive the newest trucks with new driver comfort specs in 2018. Learn more about Schneider's team matching program, driving jobs, and truck specs at SchneiderJobs.com. That's SchneiderJobs.com.
Illinois CyberKnife deploys revolutionary technology in the fight against prostate cancer in just 5 outpatient treatments. With CyberKnife treatment for prostate cancer, there's no pain, no surgery, and you can go back to your normal activities right after treatment. Prostate cancer doesn't fight fair. Neither should you. For more information, contact Illinois CyberKnife at 847-723-0100 or visit IllinoisCK.com, a service of Advocate Lutheran General Hospital. No case is typical. Results will vary by patient, and there's no guarantee you'll experience these results.
Size does matter.
Need legal advice from a reputable attorney? Send questions you want answered to WBBMNewsRadio.com/legal advice and look online for free Legal Fridays with Horwitz, Horwitz & Associates. That's WBBMNewsRadio.com.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to the Lawrence Holmes Show, nights 6 to 10.
Bears first round draft pick Roquan Smith.
When you got drafted, you start digging into the history.
Well, I was a huge football junkie, so I used to watch a lot of older stuff on NFL Network and things like that. So just seeing like many guys that came before me paved the roads and seeing a lot of the current guys. So I remember the Bears made the Super Bowl run with Lance Briggs, Brian Urlacher, those guys. So that was definitely big, and you know, just seeing those guys in there, so that's definitely huge.
I actually heard an AFC decision maker compare you to Lance Briggs. When you hear that, and now you're going to be a Bears linebacker, how does it make you feel?
That's pretty crazy, being compared to a guy like Lance Briggs, but it's insane. I feel like we're both unique in our own way.
Lawrence Holmes, nights 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station. Chicago's in the thick of baseball season, but also persistent spring storms. Avoid the rain delay. When flood disaster strikes, contact Aloha Restoration to get bone dry in no time. Unlike other restoration services, Aloha is full service and restores your home to pre-disaster condition with you from start to finish. Aloha Restoration is a proud partner of the Lake County community and honorable mention winners of the Better Business Bureau 2017 Torch Award for Ethics. Aloha repairs all mold, fire, and water damage in Barrington, Schaumburg, Mundelein, Gurney, Grays Lake, and all of Lake County. Visit AlohaRestores.com.
And now from Small Business Pulse Chicago, sponsored by ComEd, powering lives. I'm Rashini Rajkumar. To legally start your business on the right foot, the first thing to decide is your company name. Then file it with your county clerk's office. This option is called a DBA, or doing business as. Through the county's online database, you'll know if the name has already been registered. Then advertise to put the name out there. If no one claims it, you know it's yours. This allows you to open a bank account with the business's name and cash checks made out to it. For more info, go to smallbusinesspulse.com/WBA. WGBM.com/drive now.
Friday, join the Bernstein and McKnight Show at Wrigley from 9 a.m. to 1. The guys will be live from Gallagher Way covering all Chicago sports, along with previewing the Cubs-Pirates afternoon game. Stop by to see the broadcast and pick up Cubs radio prizes from Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Official radio home of the Chicago Cubs.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Pop fly might be playable shallow left, angling over Baez near the stands, and Baez makes the catch and tumbles into the stands. He made an incredible catch and then fell over that side wall. Is he okay? Yes, I think he is. A circus catch by Javier Baez. What a play.
Trailing big, too. Javier Baez goes into the stands, down a couple of runs, able to put that effort up and make a play like that. He paid for it some, or at least the uniform pants did. A little soaked with some beverage. Some beer, some Coke, whatnot.
What are you supposed to do? What's proper there?
As a fan?
As a fan, you can't interfere with him.
No, he can't interfere.
But you don't want him to take a hard fall.
No, you got to give the you put the hands out, right? You know, about like a little under shoulder.
There are cup holders right there.
Yes.
Set your cup down.
Well,
be at the ready.
I don't know that you're going to be able to set the cup down in that kind of, because you can't, if you're going to take your, if you're a fan, right, and you've got drink in hand, you see Javi and Ball coming over towards you, whomever it is. It's got to be difficult. Considering the level of athlete that Javi is and you're probably not, how do you take your eye off the play and put the drink back down? You know, that's a tough ask.
Can't you kind of feel for the cup holder?
Sort of.
Did you see the woman in San Diego?
What if it's your second? What if it's your second beer and you've already got a cup in there?
Yeah, that's true.
You could be on multiples. Yeah, but now you're looking at spilling the beer. Now you've got water on the ground.
Javi's
going to go in for that.
Good you're fans, have bad to... fans. Be an athletic fan, athletic beer drinker like the woman in San Diego.
She was fantastic.
Did you see her?
Play. Hell of a play.
There was a foul ball.
Straight into the drink.
And she caught it in her beer. And then, feeling the moment, chugged the beer with the baseball still in it as everybody was looking on.
Awesome.
Yeah, didn't even wait. She's like, yeah, all right, I'm going to do this. And just threw the thing back.
Those Cubs fans failed, but there was an empty seat there, right?
I think you're right.
So that hurt the situation. But yeah, they were just sitting there and watching, and then they're hugging them afterwards.
See, I know the basketball thing. We've seen it before where, like, LeBron James is diving to save a ball and you're on a folding chair. There's nothing you can do when there's a truck that's coming at you directly.
A truck with knees.
Yeah, but it's another thing if the guy's not even looking at you, he's sort of drifting towards you or leaning in. You can help out a little bit. There's a protocol for opposing teams, right? If a guy's coming over to make a play in the opposing dugout, there is a professional courtesy.
Sometimes.
Well,
kind of depends on what you've been into that series.
Maybe, or who it is. But generally, you've seen at least the show of, had you fallen, we would have been here.
Right. They don't say anything. Nobody here, you don't say anything because you can't let them know where you are or the ball is or anything like that.
But then after the fact, there's always an indication that we would have. Like, see, the LeBron thing, wasn't it Jason Day's wife that just got trucked? Where they were sitting courtside.
Oh, that's right.
I want to say it was Ellie Day, right?
Yes, correct.
And smoked. Yes. I mean, there's worse things to land on. But but LeBron looked at her like, oh, my God. He realized, like, are you okay? She's like, I think I'm okay. And Jason Day leaned out of the way. He was like, hey, you take it, honey.
That's a bad look.
Yeah, have fun with that.
Scoreboard update.
From the CDW Update Studio, I'm Joe Ostrowski, making IT solutions work for you. It's IT orchestration by CDW. CDW, people who get it. The Cubs remain two games back in the division because every NL Central team lost yesterday. Jose Quintana faces the Phils in tonight's 7:05 first pitch right here on the Score. Joe Madden with Bernstein and McKnight at noon. Jake Arrieta here on the Score at 3 with McNeil and Parkins. The White Sox began a run of 21 games in 20 days with yesterday's doubleheader. Hector Santiago takes on the Twins tonight. It's day 2 of 3 at Bears minicamp, and Andre Iguodala is questionable for game 3, the Warriors' 4.5-point road favorites against the Cavs. This update was brought to you by Subway. Head to Subway restaurants and enjoy the delicious turkey bacon and guacamole signature wrap with a bag of Miss Vicky's jalapeno-flavored kettle chips. Head to Subway today and add a spicy crunch to your lunch. This summer, visit the Amstel Light display at your local participating retailer to learn how you can earn a round of golf with your Amstel Light purchase. At home or at the 19th hole, choose Amstel Light and make it a light round. I'm Joe Ostrowski, and you're listening to the radio home for Cubs baseball, 670 The Score. The next game on The Score tonight at 6:30 when the Cubs take on the Phillies. This is 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Burke pops it up. Left side, where it's staying play. The catch is made by Uribe, an unbelievable grab, ending up in the crowd as he pulls in out number two in the ninth.
There's a man on, too. There's a man on second for that, so Uribe has got to pop right out of the stands and look to see if anybody's going to tag and go. I mean, you can't tell, too. I mean, I don't remember, but you can't tell from the video, unless, I don't know if you're watching the video, Rick, or playing it just straight off the audio, but I don't know if anyone was covering third either. You know, because Creedy goes with him.
Right. Is it the, who would cover third than the pitcher?
Well, yeah.
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 Because there were fans that were helping out. You saw it. It was in Houston, but they were clearly White Sox fans who were saying, you know, give him room, give him room, give him room. And that is such an underappreciated World Series defensive play. I'm sorry. If that were Derek Jeter, there'd be statues of it.
That was better than Derek Jeter's stuff.
I agree.
Oh, when Jeter went flying into the stands face first? Yeah, that one looked painful. I feel like as a fan, you try and keep, if you've got beverage in hand, I'm not gonna ask you to replace beverage into cup holder. That's too tough to ask. I feel like we're bad athleticism here. You're gonna drop a drink, then you're gonna create a more hazardous environment when the player does go over. You keep your hands out, right? But below shoulders so as to catch on the fall. And not obstruct any kind of play. Because up here, you put your hands up above your shoulders, now you're in ball glove territory.
Correct.
You've got to keep hands under shoulders, under your shoulder, and then you're trying to just support. Yeah, you're trying to just be a landing area for a giant professional athlete wearing spikes.
Now that I think about it, though.
Good luck.
In the case of Juan Uribe, that hand position puts you into different danger territory.
That's true.
Just by sheer, like,
that's true. But think of the story you get to tell.
Area.
But think of the story you get to tell.
I can only imagine what that would be. That
so is, I'm at game
you're
four.
Shaken to your core. It's
that, Jeff Blum and his wife are worried.
Hey, he's okay, white guy. Yeah, he okay. Yeah, that's worse perhaps than LeBron James falling on top of you, right? It's the baseball equivalent, maybe.
Well, I mean, it's much more painful with LeBron putting a knee in your face. But yes, this could last longer.
I mean, depend on
the
how
psychological.
Excited Juan is. You'd knock your ass out.
He had a long way to run. You know, you imagine he was thinking about it all the way over.
This segment is brought to you by Indeed.
Are you hiring?
With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes. You probably don't even know that reference.
I do know.
Set up screener questions.
You've explained it three times.
Then zero in on qualified candidates in an online dashboard. Get started at indeed.com/hire. When we come back, you will have a chance to win $1,000 in cash. We're going to give you a keyword to text, and if you are the lucky texter, you're going to be $1,000 richer. You are also going to be richer with the baseball knowledge provided by Len Casper. So keep it here on Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Hey, Chicago, this is Brent Musburger. Listen to the 2 and 5 p.m. hours daily in the McNeil and Parkin Show on The Score for the VSiN Action Update, where our team of experts give you the latest wagering and gaming info on Chicago's teams and the biggest sports stories of the day. That's the VSiN Action Update.
State Farm, this is Bill.
It finally got me, Bill.
What's that, Rick?
The Clark Street crater, the mother of all potholes.
Oh.
Yeah, year after rim-wrecking year, it's tormented the people of this town. They try to fill it, but it always returns. It got me good.
But you know, State Farm's got you too.
You hear that? You ain't nothing!
You trash-talking a pothole?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Go with the one that's here to help life go right. State Farm. Talk to an agent today.
31.com.
Come on, Peloton!
No time to go to the gym? Don't. Get everything you love in a workout at home. Your favorite instructor. The right music. The best sweat you can get in 45 minutes or less. Just listen.
We're just getting started. Match the beat of the music and add resistance. Let's do this, y'all. Rise in four. Add it on in 3, 2, 1. Take it up. Let's rock it. The time is now, Peloton. The place is here. Let's ride.
That's a taste of a hit ride with Peloton instructor Allie Love. One of thousands of classes streaming from New York City straight to your home every day. When you need it and where you need it most. You don't need another commute. So wake up to, or come home to, live studio cycling with Peloton. Learn more at onepeloton.com or visit our showroom at the shops at Northbridge, Westfield Old Orchard, or Oak Brook Center to try the bike.
That's right. I'm talking.
Paint pros know a lot about painting. It's why they're called pros, but their secret's out, and it's now at the Home Depot. Professional quality PPG Timeless paint starting at just $33.98 a gallon. With complete one-coat coverage, interior and exterior, PPG is a brand trusted by paint pros for over 100 years. And now, it's your turn. Pro-grade PPG Timeless paint starting at just $33.98 a gallon. Now, at the Home Depot. More saving. More doing. U.S. only. See store for details.
State Farm, Robert here.
Robert, somebody burned down my she shed.
No one burned down your she shed, Cheryl.
Oh, really, Victor? Because my she shed's burning up in the backyard.
Your she shed was struck by lightning, Cheryl.
Robert, does State Farm cover my she shed?
What's a she shed?
She turned our shed into her hideaway, Robert.
Oh, yeah, that's covered.
You hear that, Victor? I'm getting a new she-shear she shed.
Can we stop saying she shed now?
Go with the one that's here to help life go right. State Farm. Talk to an agent today.
You've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, the summer sunshine inspired our kids to have a lemonade stand, but our summer style looks a little sour.
Get to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, right now sweeten your style with up to 40% off dresses, shorts, and tops at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
Up to 40% off all those styles?
That's right. Shorts start at $15 for adults, $7 for kids, and tops start at $8 for adults, $6 for kids. And don't forget to redeem your super cash. Hurry in, end Sunday.
Kids tops from just $6? That's a sweet deal.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 6-2 to 6-10. Select styles only. Super cash excludes gift cards.
See? Illinois residential mortgage license.
Last week, North and South Side pitchers combined for 91 strikeouts. Batters barely saw him coming. LifeLock with Norton wanted to remind you that the digital world is full of curveballs, like cybercrime, sneaky, deceptive, hard to detect. It's why getting new LifeLock with Norton makes so much sense. No one can ever stop every cyber threat or prevent all identity theft, but LifeLock has now added the power of Norton to help protect against more types of cybercrime, like someone trying to steal your identity or attacking your devices with malware. Join at LifeLock.com and use promo code GAME for an extra 10% off your first year. LifeLock.com.
Ask any dentist and they will tell you most of us brush our teeth too hard, unevenly, and not nearly long enough. And that leads to serious health problems. So I decided to do something about it. I'm Simon Enova and I invented Quip, the modern electric toothbrush to help you have fresh breath, pristine teeth, and excellent oral hygiene. As a product designer, I care about how your toothbrush looks, feels, and the quality of every bristle. Quip has a lightweight and sleek design with simple timed vibrations and guiding pulses for a perfect two-minute clean. And unlike other high-end electric toothbrushes, Quip starts at just $25. BuzzFeed calls us the iPhone of toothbrushes, and Time magazine named us one of the best inventions of the year. Start brushing better with Quip.
Go to getquip.com/clean and get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/clean. Spelled getquip.com/clean.
When we go out to eat, we never agree on where to go.
I want burgers!
Pizza!
Tacos it is.
The one thing we do agree on is we all want unlimited high-speed data. That's why we switched to MetroPCS.
Stop by MetroPCS with the whole family and get four lines with unlimited LTE data for just $100, period. MetroPCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Requires new line. During congestion, the fraction of customers using more than 35 gigs per month may notice reduced speeds. Video streams at up to 480p. No tethering. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Critics are calling Hereditary this generation's The Exorcist.
I think my mother put a curse on us.
A new horror classic.
Make it stop!
Don't say you weren't warned. Hereditary in theaters this Friday. Rated R.
It's waterproofing.com.
Okay, from the start.
Acerola cherry.
Alfalfa leaf. Aloe vera. Apples. Asparagus. Banana.
Beets. Bell pepper. Broccoli.
Blueberries. Blackberries. Cranberry.
I make my Texas superfood from 55 raw, vine-ripened fruits and vegetables.
Mangosteen.
Pineapple. Sweet potato.
Papaya. Parsley. Peach.
You can see all 55 on TexasSuperfood.com.
Raspberry. Spinach. All of the nutrients that we need on a daily basis.
You know, it's been barely a week, and already my skin is better.
I lost 60 pounds. I mean, that's huge.
Since I've been on Superfood, I haven't been sick.
I'm Dennis Black here in Dallas, Texas. Wouldn't you rather be healthy, energetic, and fit?
It's borderline shocking how much energy I have.
Join us on TexasSuperfood.com.
TexasSuperfood.com.
Or call 877-55-TEXAS. That's 877-55-TEXAS. 877-55-TEXAS or
Texas Super.
superfood.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Here it comes. And a drive to left. Grand slam time.
Len Casper.
That's win.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, baby.
TV voice of the Cubs.
Here's a base hit. Sauber scores. Here comes a throw. Baez scores. Cubs win.
Slightly above average bassist.
Maybe Casper playing the guitar really into it.
Len Casper with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
It is time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on The Score. This hour's keyword is Vivid. Text Vivid to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is Vivid to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. Len Casper is on Twitter at Len Casper, and he was on the call last night on what was more of an emotional day than I guess I expected. I didn't really appreciate it until I saw the way that former teammates were responding. And I guess I'm appreciating a little more that Jake Arrieta himself represented something more, or still represents something more than just a guy who was a really good pitcher.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. We can go through a lot of the different phases, but I think, number one, one of the best trades the Chicago Cubs have ever made, getting Jake Arrieta and Pedro Strop from the Baltimore Orioles for Steve Clevenger and Scott Feldman. At the time, Arrieta was a guy who had been considered basically a failure, right? A guy with great stuff, but just could never quite figure it out with the Orioles. He originally went back to AAA and pitched at Iowa very briefly before he got to the big leagues. And we saw glimpses early on, but then we saw a little bit of what the Orioles had witnessed too, and that was too many walks. All of a sudden an inning gets away from him. And then all of a sudden, the next year, you started to see him getting toward the Jake Arrieta that Cub fans came to know and love. And then the 2015 run was just out of this world. I think the wild card game in 2015 still stands out as one of the most important games of this Cubs era, because the Cubs had lost, what, 9 in a row in the postseason. And it really kind of stamped the we are here and we're going to be here for a while. And then the 2016 World Series, two no-hitters, Cy Young Award, well-decorated. And I just think he loved being a Cub. And I also think about, and he mentioned his son Cooper always is going to root for the Cubs, because this was the team, you know, he had kind of when he became a baseball fan, watching his dad pitch. And I think of all those moments at the All-Star game when father and son were hanging out watching the home run derby. So I think family-wise it meant a lot to Jake, and I know he was very touched by everything that happened last night.
I know coming back to see old teammates and such can always, you know, bring up some of those emotions as well. It was really cool to see him on the field with some of those guys that he worked with for so long. I know that they kind of felt an air of invincibility when he pitched, especially in 15, Len, in that second half. There was that feeling is something that's very difficult to replicate, but it stays with you, that confidence, I think. Guys talked about that yesterday, too.
Yeah, and I think he was a big part of giving the team, as you say, a lot of that confidence that they were to be reckoned with. Once John Lester got here, we've talked off the air about the Lester Hendricks Arrieta trio and just how important that group has been. And I think Jake would love to have pitched in this series. Of course, that would have been a big deal to him, but the fact that he isn't going to pitch might have made last night even more special. I think he embraced the tributes, embraced his old teammates. If he pitched last night or if he was pitching tonight, it might be not quite as loving, so to speak, you know, because he's got to focus on what he has to do. So maybe in a weird way, it's better that he doesn't pitch in this series so he can really let it all soak in.
Why is Kyle Hendricks struggling to keep the ball in the ballpark? I'm trying to look for commonalities between some of these home runs that he's given up, but it's on all different pitches and all different situations and all different parks.
Well, the easiest thing to say would be he's missing his spots. The second thing to say is launch angle. Guys, swings, I think, have changed. You know, pitching down in the zone is not considered what it used to be. There aren't a lot of sinker ballers out there who have a ton of success. He continues to have success, even though he's had a few bad outings, the overall has been very good. I think there have been times when he has elevated purposely because of the launch angle revolution. But I think the main thing is just missing his spots in the execution. And in the case of Nick Williams last night, I think JD nailed it. You know, he was very patient. He waited him out, and he sat on a couple of really good changeups earlier in the at bat, and then kind of forced Kyle to give him a fastball deep in the count, and he made him pay. So it's probably a combination of all those things, but I think Kyle would probably say more than anything it's missed execution, because when he feels he hits his spots, he should have a lot of success.
So then Jim Hickey was on the Mully and Hanley show earlier this morning, and we're going to have Joe Maddon on at noon, but the conversation around Yu Darvish and how long he may be out kind of feels like it could be a little longer, or, you know, a little longer wait than perhaps we thought. I wonder in your mind how that rotation solidifies itself going forward. I know John Lester has been good, and yeah, Hendricks has had a blip or two on the radar, but with Mike Montgomery pitching the way he has now, do you feel like there really is an option for it to get set a little bit more than it has been in the first 6 weeks of the season?
Look, it has over the first week. I mean, Mike was as good as any starter on the road trip, and he did it twice. So that's huge. The Cubs haven't had a lot of quantity depth in terms of, you know, you could go eight or nine starters deep. So that, you know, if you have another injury in the rotation, I think that could be really problematic. But in terms of having that sixth starter already on the staff in Montgomery, it really, really important. And, you know, Mike clearly wants to start. He wants to do it on every fifth day, would rather start than pitch out of the bullpen. If you look at his career numbers, he's been much better as a reliever than as a starter. But there's no doubt in a vacuum, he deserves a chance to be a full-time starter. But on this current team, he's just going to be in the role he's in. And the fact that he's able to jump back and forth and be successful at both, I think makes him even more valuable. So when Darvish is back, he's in the rotation, whenever that is, no matter how well Mike Montgomery pitches. And that's just the way it's going to be. And it might be two or three more starts for Mike, and hopefully he can continue to do what he's done.
Do you know anything more about the condition of Addison Russell?
I don't. I know that they were going to do tests yesterday on the finger, and that he was not, pretty much not available last night. I don't exactly know when he did it, but there was a swing he had where he was shaking his hand. And, you know, occasionally, as you know, he loses the grip on the bat.
Yes.
So I'm assuming, without knowing anything more, that it was on one of those types of swings. So, you know, hopefully it's not a DL stint, but I think once those tests come back today, they'll have a better idea of how many games he might miss.
As far as middle infield goes, this is the problem that the Cubs wanted to have going into things, because whether it's Happ or Listella or Baez who can move around, or Zobrist, I mean, this is seemingly, you don't want him hurt, obviously, but seemingly the one injury that they're best equipped to cover.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, if this thing lingers, my guess would be David Bote would be back, and I think acquitted himself nicely. Looks like a big league player, can play third and second and probably short in a pinch as well. You know, the one thing I would say is that if Russell's out for any length of time, or if Baez went down, you just don't want to push Ben Zobrist too much. I think Joe is really cognizant of making sure he gets a day or two off per week. And I think one of the reasons Ben has been as good as he's been is that he's been able to get periodic and pretty routine rest. So that's the only issue, I think, with you know, a middle infielder going down. You know, you miss the guy himself in Addison Russell, but you just don't want to make, you know, you want to make sure that Ben Zobrist doesn't get pushed to a point where he's fatigued and so all of a sudden his performance suffers as a result.
There was some more subtext going on yesterday, too, with the return of John Mailey after he was fired abruptly. And I don't think it was really a coincidence. Well, maybe it was, as I don't want to ascribe any motivation here. But during his pregame news conference, Joe Maddon talked at length about launch angle, because he was asked about strikeouts, he was asked about situational hitting, and he started talking about how, boy, at the youth level, they're teaching a launch angle, sometimes you got to stay down through the ball, look what Kyle Schwarber's doing, etc. We know that John Mailey was very big on launch angle, and that was one of his important teaching points. It might have been one of the things that got him fired. He didn't have to really read between the lines yesterday. Did you sense some of that stuff with Joe Maddon's strong feelings about hitting philosophy and then knowing that they made a change there?
Not specifically about John. I think, you know, John is one of the smartest hitting coaches I've ever been around. I learn a lot from him. And I think every hitting coach, you know, generally comes back to the same fundamentals. I think he's really good with scouting reports and figuring out how to attack the opposing pitcher. But I do think, you know, the launch angle revolution has taken over baseball. And I think a lot of hitting coaches at a lot of levels definitely teach it that way. And I think, you know, Joe's point is, you know, if you're naturally a guy who's going to hit that way, take Chris Bryant, for example, you know, that's great. And I also would say, and this is a question for Joe too, you know, you look at some guys who've resurrected their careers, and I know, you talked, was it Jeff Sullivan yesterday, about guys like Justin Turner and Cervelli, is it Max Muncy, you know, guys mm-hmm. who've kind of hit the end of the line, and all of a sudden they need some way to figure out how they're going to continue their big league career. I do think there's validity there, but I think Joe's point is, even guys who do that, there are times when you need to move the baseball and you need to make contact and you need to hit line drives. So I think it's a combination of all of it, and I don't think Joe is saying that all of that stuff is a bunch of nonsense. I think it's just more of, you know, it's the shifting, right? In our game, we tend to go in way to one side when everybody's doing it, when the right answer is probably somewhere in the middle. And I think that's Joe's point about his particular offense, in we need to move the ball in spots with runners in scoring position, less than two outs, all of that stuff. And the launch angle revolution, we just don't want to take it too far.
Len, great seeing you last night and great talking today.
Thanks, Len.
Always a pleasure. Hope you guys are out there more often. It was fun. Enjoyed it.
That is Len Casper, the voice of the Chicago Cubs, who yesterday in the dugout was showing us pictures of his bass guitar. It's like it was his other child. It's like, look at this. Can I show you pictures? Like, I thought it was going to...
Fine.
I was gonna,
yeah,
usually,
show me the pictures.
Usually it's pictures of your kid or whatever. And he's like, this is the bass guitar that I play.
It was cool. He's got a new one.
Yeah.
Or at least he's got a new gig guitar, it sounded like. Gig bass. Something you bring out.
Like the gamer.
Yeah, it's like a gamer.
No,
like a gamer.
Explaining the difference between, I forgot the exact term, the short scale bass, which is, they call it the guitar player's bass because it's literally shorter, mm-hmm. and you can play the higher notes a little bit easier, different gauge of strings. It was,
get the cutout, you can get up there,
show off
a solo, make yourself work, and then get back to, you know, plunking out quarter notes.
Do your little Les Claypool stuff before you go back to your John Entwistle stuff. We have the Midday Midway coming up. Max Scherzer has joined an exclusive club. I also have the Texas Rangers making a unique, if esoteric, baseball history.
Okay. That's a couple of mine. I've got something on racing, believe it or not. Yeah, that's like a pair of mine, jerk.
Yeah,
no, I got some racing stuff. Racing hockey stuff. Met each other on a broadcast last night, and some people are upset about it. Some people are having a get-off-my-lawn moment that I otherwise would excuse. And Jose Ramirez is having a damn good season. How good? I'll tell you during the Midday Midway.
Also, a baseball story that doesn't involve a baseball, but it's a baseball story. Okay?
All right.
All right. That's straight ahead on the score.
Be a part of the Chicago Bulls 2018 draft viewing party at Joe's on Wheat Street. Meet Bulls legends and entertainers. Party starts at 5:30 on Thursday, June 21st. Entry is free. Must be 21 and over. Visit bulls.com.
And now, an ad from Dad.
Oh, yeah. Just this one line, right? All right. Here we go. Save money on car insurance when you... Huh? Oh, it's not? I thought that was the mic. This is the mic here. Okay. Save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive. Is that too close? Sorry. Well, I don't know where to stand. Nobody's told me where to stand.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Ask any dentist and they will tell you most of us brush our teeth too hard, unevenly, and not nearly long enough. And that leads to serious health problems. So I decided to do something about it. I'm Simon Enova, and I invented Quip, the modern electric toothbrush to help you have fresh breath, pristine teeth, and excellent oral hygiene. As a product designer, I care about how your toothbrush looks, feels, and the quality of every bristle. Quip has a lightweight and sleek design, with simple timed vibrations and guiding pulses for a perfect two-minute clean. And unlike other high-end electric toothbrushes, Quip starts at just $25. BuzzFeed calls us the iPhone of toothbrushes, and Time magazine named us one of the best inventions of the year. Start brushing better with Quip.
Go to getquip.com/clean and get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/clean. Spelled getquip.com/clean.
The award-winning Bolingbrook Golf Club and Academy is now offering their all-new mobile app. Just go to the App Store or Google Play and search Bolingbrook Golf Club. You'll have access to a mobile scorecard, GPS, or book tee times. Join them Saturday, June 9th, for a Cleveland Club fitting clinic. For tee